Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we are here to help our PM Marketing Network Leads customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell another friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now, on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hey, Peter Mingles here. Today we are on Building Fortunes Radio Show. This is on buildingfortunesradio.com, and we've updated the website as we usually do, and we have some really cool things to talk about, and I am going to introduce my co-host. Every Friday at Eastern Time, Chris Molinari and I host our Building Fortunes segment of our Building Fortunes Radio Show. So you can go to buildingfortunes.com and be able to listen to our stuff collectively. And then Chris is going to be launching a show herself on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's 3 p.m. Mountain Time for people that want to make the adjustments. And I really love the idea that Chris and I have an opportunity to discuss stuff related to current events, what's happening in the industry, and how they may be able to relate for you. So for those people listening in, thanks for being here on our radio show. Sit back, relax. You might want to take some notes on some things, but we are here just to have a little bit of fun and a little bit of education. And Chris, we're talking a little bit about, we were speaking a little bit before we started the show about things that are happening in current events, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, but we wanted to talk about the benefits, even more so now today, of running your own home-based business and having more control of your own destiny. So I'm going to tip the microphone in your general direction, and we're going to talk about the benefits of a home-based business. So go ahead. It's your turn. First of all, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, you know, and I hate being a downer, but I think people, a lot of people, it seems, are kind of still waiting for things to get really, really good. But when they give you the job numbers and, oh, my gosh, it went down to 6.3%, those aren't true. Those aren't real numbers. We know they're cooking the books and the numbers aren't right. And it's more if they really did the actual, you know, revealed the actual math, it's more like 15% or more that are unemployed. And, you know, everything around us, it's like this big picture, okay? And when they say that, you know, okay, let me just use for an example, I don't want to even mention her name, but this woman in Washington, D.C., who was speaking a few months ago, and she said, you know, if people aren't working, if they don't have a regular job, then, you know, they have more time to be, to live their dreams, to be artists, to write a book. I mean, is this woman
I can't believe how flaky that sounds voice.
I could not believe her. Okay, yeah. I just couldn't. Well, she's the one that said,
I know,
we have
I hear you,
to
yeah.
read the bill and then we'll know.
We have
what's
to approve it first,
okay.
So we can read the bill, yeah.
Yeah, we have to pass the bill first and then we'll know what's in it. Okay, so that's the brilliance that we are living under in Washington, D.C., and I have some friends that agree with me and some that don't, and I really don't care one way or the other. But the truth is that, you know, there are few jobs, and they say that most of the jobs that are procured are low-paying jobs. And I also want to say something about a few states. You know, a few people have been really excited, and oh my gosh, they're raising the what do you call it? The amount, the
minimum wage.
The amount of money that people get paid.
Oh, minimum wage.
Minimum wage. My mind just went right out the door. I was watching a deer walk by. Okay, bright shiny object. Anyway. Next it'll be an eagle and then a pheasant. I live on 13 acres in Montana.
Do you need to go kill it? If you need to go kill it for dinner, I can do the rest of the show for a little bit and you come back.
No, my neighbor said, nobody's killing my animals on this property. But my point is that you know, we're not living in la la land. You know, I wonder, you know, when they're talking about raising the minimum wage to $15, I think it's in Oregon, isn't it, or Washington State, one of them, they just raised it to $15. Well, guess what? That's great. That's great that people are going to get paid $15 an hour for working at Mickey D's. That was an entry level, just make enough money to, you know, go out and party money, you know, for teenagers at one point. And now you see the elderly working in McDonald's and getting, you know, a little bit of extra money to make up for what their Social Security doesn't cover. But here's the big problem. When you raise the minimum wage, there's going to be a whole bunch of other things that happen. There's going to be less jobs because employers are not going to hire as many people. They're going to hire more people part-time, which means, of course, they don't have to put them on any insurance at all, which means that those people would go to Medicaid, which is going to overload the system, which also means that prices are going to go up. You know, I mean, gasoline in California, there's some places it's almost $5 an hour. I mean, $5 a gallon.
Right.
And all of these things that people get so excited about, you know, you shouldn't get that excited about it because it's going to trickle down. It's not good trickle-down economics. It's really bad, okay? And people, the reason they had low-paying jobs is because there are people that can't do other kinds of businesses. They can't do other jobs, you know, and I'm not being judgmental, but there's some people that have, you know, seventh grade educations, they quit school, and they're working at Mickey D's just to make a little bit of money, and they're still living with their parents or their, you know, parents and their wife and 14 kids are living together, whatever. It's not a good thing. And home heating prices have doubled or tripled in the last few years. And we all need to wake up, really, and understand we need a financial cushion to build a financial fortress for ourselves and our families. And most people don't even save a dime anymore. I mean, the average family now doesn't save a dime. That's really scary. And the dollar, our clout is sunk worldwide. Many countries don't even want and won't accept American dollars. And we're just having a big, big fun time, aren't we?
Yeah,
and
crazy.
So our point, you know, Peter's and mine, is that what are you going to do? I mean, that's the thing you need to ask yourself. Okay, what am I going to do? Either I have a job and it's not paying enough money, or if I get a raise to that minimum wage of $15 and my hours get cut, what am I going to do? Or if I'm underemployed, there are people with double master's degrees that are working really low-paying jobs. A year ago, they said 56% of Americans were underpaid. They were in jobs that were underpaid for their education. Okay, and there are at least 100 people vying for each job. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And so that's why Peter and I are so passionate about people looking for a way to work from home. Now, Peter, you were going to talk about how, you know, you work from home, and, you know, every company always says, well, it's your own business. Well, it is, but it isn't exactly. I mean, it's your business because you can make as much money or as little money as you want to by doing a lot of work or doing nothing. Or very little
right.
work. So
Absolutely.
That's in your hands. That's in your
yep.
hands. But the company staying in business or the company all of a sudden getting rid of you is not in your hands. And so, Peter, why don't you add something to that, because we were kind of discussing that one particular
sure.
instance.
Absolutely. We were having the conversation before this radio show got started about the basketball owners being recorded in person and how he's losing his team and a whole bunch of other stuff that's happening as a result of that recording. So we were just talking a little bit about some of the – and I'm going to backtrack for just a little bit. I've always looked at people that are running home-based businesses, including myself and people like yourself, Chris, as we're like entrepreneurs, you know. We want to run our own businesses, and we want to be able to control our own destinies, and we've realized that we can turn our income up or down, sometimes like a spigot. turn it to the left, turn it to the right, and we can increase our income by working hard and doing the right things, or we can decrease our income by being stupid or jerks or incompetent or not going to work and all that sort of stuff. But at least we control a lot of the things that happen. So when you were making your comments about working at McDonald's and all those types of things, I always relate to those things as the minimum wage being a starting point. Jim Rowan probably said it best when he said, you know, it's a starting point. No one ever said you had to stay there, but it's a pretty good place at least to get started. But then as you start to increase your value and do certain things, and maybe you can kind of become the assistant manager or maybe the manager and then learn some skills and maybe move on. So for those entrepreneurs on the line, hey, you can start wherever you are, at least get started doing something, then you can kind of grow. But the idea of the concept that the position, the government can say the position is worth this much money, violates everything that I believe in free enterprise. Really, if you think it through, Chris, there should be no wage that's a minimum wage, and let the industry, let the market, if somebody wants to work for $2, then let them work for $2. If somebody wants to work for 15, then let them work for 15. Let the market kind of play settle. But I realize that not everybody thinks like that, nor is my thought really a possibility, because there's lots of really nice but not necessarily capable people out there that can actually be those entrepreneurs. So thinking that everybody's like an entrepreneur would be incompetent on my part. So anyway, so having just said that, we're here building our own businesses, right? So you say I'm in my own home-based business. And I spent a lot of time learning this as a sales manager, because salesmen for me or the company I was working with signed a contract. So they signed a contract. The contract said what they were able to do and what the company was going to do, so we had a written agreement, which made sense. When people become distributors of home-based businesses, they sign contracts, which, by the way, almost no one ever reads, because it's just a click here on a submit button. Yes, I've read the terms and conditions, and since you can't really do anything about it anyway, because most of them are one-way contracts, and we still want to take advantage of the opportunity, we usually just push the submit button. So that's another whole conversation. But you're on a contract with a company to be a distributor. So is it really your own home-based business? Now, the answer to that question is not necessarily. And we're going to take a little commercial break, and I'm going to leave you guys hanging, and then we'll finish up with some things. We'll be right back in 1 minute. Here we go.
Building Fortunes Radio creates the environment to spotlight your product and your opportunities. If you have something to sell or something you want to share with the world, you can do it here with Building Fortunes Radio. When you go to our site at www.buildingfortunesradio.com, you'll be able to check out What's Cooking with Mario. Listen to Mario Nardelli and hear his success story, starting with a young man in Italy to executive chef and restaurant owner, and eventually a successful home-based business entrepreneur. Then check the Bottom Line team and hear Shelley and Sandy improve the health and finances of thousands of others. That's two great examples. What's Cooking with Mario and the Bottom Line team. How about you? Contact us at buildingfortunesradio.com to learn how we can help you. Now, back to the show.
Peter Mingles here. We are on Building Fortunes Radio. We're on the Building Fortunes segment of Building Fortunes Radio with my guest co-host, Chris Molinari. And Chris is going to have her own segment on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. Go check buildingfortunesradio.com, and you'll be able to see whichever segment she wants. We give her free rein to do just about anything. So having said that, if you're in as a distributor of a home-based business, is it really your own 100% business? And the answer to that question is no. You still have to adhere to the policies and procedures set forth by the company. So it's kind of like yours. Can you sell it? Sometimes, depending on the policies and procedures. But it's really not your own. So even though it is your own, it's still not 100% your own, because you have to handle code of ethics, legal things, ramifications, all that sort of stuff. But you kind of treat it like it's your own business if you're doing things the right way. And the only reason why I say those things is because that doesn't make it bad, that it's not 100% of your own. It just makes you have to understand that you don't have free rein to do just about anything. Now, if it happens as a distributor, at a distributor level, for maybe a $10 program, $100 program, couple of $100 program, the parallel starts with what about what just happened with the guy who owns the, I don't follow basketball. It's the Clippers, I think it's called, the Los Angeles Clippers. Well, this guy take a look at what he has been able to do for the last 80-some-odd years, or who knows how many years he's owned the basketball team. I think he's in his 80s personally. He would go around saying, I'm the owner, I'm the owner, I'm the owner. Look at all the risk that I have. Look at all the money that I make. Look at all the people that I feed. Look at all the cars that I help buy. Look at all the homes. Look at the lifestyle. Look at the complex issues. I own that business. And what he just realizes, not just realizes, he knew this all along, but because something happened, it could all be taken away from him in a blink of an eye, somebody doing what I would consider a dirty deal, an illegal recording. At least my opinion of what I've heard so far is that he was recorded doing something socially and privately, but he lost it. So if it could happen to a person who runs almost a $1 billion-a-year organization, it could certainly happen to us if we're running our own home-based business as a distributor. So the most important thing is read the policies and procedures. Now, Chris, I don't know if you want to comment on anything that you know about that specific situation relative to the owner of the basketball team, but I'll give you a few minutes to kind of give us your spin on that too.
Well, for one thing, as if anybody's, it's, they're not really showing it a lot on, well, they kind of are on the ABC, NBC, all, you know, on the, all those channels because it's such a big deal. But basically, he was recorded by his mistress, I guess in their apartment, because I don't think it was at his regular home where his wife lives. But he was saying some just despicable things. On the other hand, it was in the privacy of his residence because he owned a condo. And I, you know, who knows the reason that his mistress or girlfriend recorded him, you know, possibly to blackmail him or just to get him in trouble because he wouldn't comply with what she wanted. She wanted the condo. She wanted more money, whatever. But the point is he was in his private home. If, you know, if he had been saying these things out in public, I mean, it's still rotten what he said, but if he'd been saying them in public or saying them on, you know, a television show or a radio show, of course. I mean, instantly he you know, should have been, you know, like, you can't run your business anymore, because I think he could have maybe some dementia. He's 80-something, or some reason that he opened his mouth and said the things he did. But he is the owner of the business, and he created that. He did himself with a lot of people. I mean, he created the business, and he has all these, you know, he manifested or attracted to him all these fantastic basketball players, and he was good to them. He was good to them. Now, maybe his thoughts in private were not good, which they weren't, but why should he be fined $2.4 million? Why? I mean, aside from hurting himself and upsetting everyone, who did he really hurt? Himself. And then to lose his team and have it sold, why not have his family inherit it and just run it? Because he has people in his family that could do it. So who gave somebody permission? I mean, it's like the thought police are everywhere, except for certain segments of our, you know, population. You know, it's just a crazy thing that's going on. But the whole point is that you might think you own something or run something, but the bottom line is you might have a real big surprise if the wrong people get upset with you. So that's just kind right. of my addition to it.
Yeah, exactly. So the example that we're using of the basketball owner of the Clippers, who is now in a controversial situation where he lost his basketball team, suggests that it's an exaggerated example of what could maybe happen with anybody that might be listening in relative to how they run their own home-based business. So even though, let's take a look at some of the parallels. Let's face it, now I don't know this gentleman. I don't know this gentleman. I don't follow professional basketball, so I might get some of the facts wrong, which leads this conversation to more of entertainment and gossip as opposed to fact-finding. But let's just say a few things. Right? But let's just say a few things. First of all, the guy has to have some level of intelligence to become a basketball team owner. Chris, not to put you on the spot or me on the spot, but I don't have what it takes right now to own a basketball team. You know, do you know what's your basketball team called? This answer is, Peter, that's out of my category. I've never tried to pursue that, but I don't have that. I bet you almost everyone listening in doesn't have their own basketball team. So it takes a certain level of talent to own a basketball team. Does it take a certain level of sophistication? Has to. He's not a Beverly Hillbilly, you know, the one from the radio show. This isn't Grandma Clampett. This is, you know, or what is it, Jed? These people.
Jethro.
Jethro, yes. Or, you know, these people aren't like that.
Ellie Mae.
You had to have a certain level of sophistication when it comes to a business to be able to own a basketball team. So can we say this guy wasn't knowledgeable about that he couldn't say those things? The answer to that question is absolutely positively. He knows the rules. Matter of fact, I am positive, although I haven't verified this fact, I am positive that people in the NBA, when owners get together, they talk about these things, the do's and the don'ts, and they even make the policies by which this guy could be fired, and he could lose everything, and he certainly understands it. Where the betrayal comes, from my perspective, is that it was recorded secretly in the privacy of a bedroom, you know, with this guy's mistress, and that's the part that I think is the horrible part about this. Now, what did he say? Hey, you know what? Who am I to judge? People can say whatever they say. We don't know how many drinks this guy has. We don't know how old he is. We don't know his thoughts. It doesn't matter the outside circumstances. Whatever he said, that's a value proposition that people put on their own values or sometimes the things that they say. I take a look at his actions, and I say, you know what? He's helped a lot of people in all different races, I'm sure. But in the same aspect is he is smart enough to really think about it. He's smart enough to know the differences, but he was betrayed. And that's where I have a little bit of a hard time with the story. Now, let's fast forward to you and your home-based business. Don't ever think, if you will, that you can have a conversation that can't be recorded that can be used against you. And let me use some specific things relative to home-based businesses. Maybe your home-based business is in transition. So maybe the home-based business was started, you're flourishing it, it's working like crazy, and then all of a sudden new ownerships, compensation plans, whatever, and you decide that you want to kind of look at other options. You've built up a business, but you want to look at some of your other options, so you start to talk to somebody about maybe taking a look at something else. Do you realize that, Chris, that recording that might be made and forwarded to your present company could be the reasons why you lose your own home-based business? So in a digital world where people can get themselves in trouble, what this whole call is all about is watch out what you do or what to say, because it's not really yours. You violate any of the terms and conditions, and it can be taken away from you like a basketball team could be taken away from a company owner. So the reason why I like to use this example is I'm not getting involved in the facts of the conversation. What he said is what he said. I'm talking more or less the mechanics. Somebody illegally recorded him, or at least my belief is he was illegally recorded. Then they turned it over for whatever motivation they had, and he lost his team. He never said it publicly, and he's smart enough to probably realize he should never say those things publicly. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on whatever he's going to, you know, take this information as, a lot of people's lives are going to be turned upside down or not. And you know what? I think most people really don't care. I think most people really don't care. They like playing basketball. If they're paid by him from playing basketball, and they ask most of those players, do you really care? As long as your check clears is usually what they say. As long as my sneakers are working and I get my endorsements and all that sort of stuff, this guy's providing a lifestyle for me that I wouldn't have had anyway. So I bet you there's a whole bunch of people that probably didn't care. So anyway, so having said those things, we're talking about home-based businesses and your ability to actually manage and keep and retain your own home-based business, and we're using real-life examples to be able to exemplify some of the stories related to this. So, Chris, back to you.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't know you were going back to me.
I was going back to you. Yep, back to you. We have like
four minutes left. Okay. Oh, geez. Okay, well, just really quickly, I'll just talk a little bit about making the decision to get started and have a home business. So you make the decision to get started. So now what do? You know, you may be an expert in network marketing or home-based business, you may just be getting started. And if you're just getting started and you've never done that before, then you need to know what to do. Well, what you do is you follow your leader. You know, you whoever brought you in, if they're just now getting started or if they've only been in a few years, you know, people are always willing to help you. So you can go to their upline. In other words, they're more than willing. Say, look, you know, I really want to just blow this out of the water, and I want to learn from a master. So who's the top guy in our organization that would give me a few minutes on the phone? And find out. And that person would be happy to help you. Now, that doesn't mean that you want to call that person on the phone, you know, every other day. They'll give you some time, have them call you, and they'll probably use a number that, you know, you can't see it on your caller ID. But anyway, the point is, ask for help. Everyone wants to help you, okay? But again, Americans are losing their homes, their jobs, and some people are living in their cars. And a few years ago, we could get by. A lot of people could call just getting by on what they were earning at their job. And I've heard it said, job is just over broke, but people were still making it, okay? Now many people with jobs are not just over broke, they're in a dire situation. So what to do, okay? Everyone in America needs to totally rethink the way they live their lives. With prices out of sight, don't quit before you get started, okay? I mean, if you have a good opportunity come along and it looks good to you and you can afford to get in it and you have enough money to, you know, get leads from Peter for your business or some other way market your business, because you're going to have a little cushion to market your business. Don't just start something because you have enough money to get started. You've got to have a little bit of a cushion to do some marketing. But don't quit before you get started. And if you have questions, ask. Don't just sit there. And now is the absolute best time to get into a home business and work it. And I mean work it. And so many years, over the years, so many people have hopped from one home business to the next. You know, we have a name for them in the industry, but they hop from one to another, never really getting started, and then they say, oh, this is a scam, this is a, you know, I could never make it in this business because it's not real. Well, of course it's real, but many people make money at home businesses. There's more millionaires in network marketing than there are in any other business. I've said this before, except, of course, Wall Street, but, you know, the chances of us getting a job on Wall Street are kind of nil. So things are serious whether you realize it or not. Very, very serious. We don't know what's going to happen in D.C. We don't know if history is going to repeat itself. It's all a bunch of promises and rhetoric, and we never see the promises kept. So you're going to have to take care of yourself. That's exactly what I'm doing. I got to take care of me. Peter's got to take care of Peter. And we're on our own, and it's time we come together and support one another in creating a way to make it through. So that's what home business is about. It's creating a team. You know, there's an old expression, there's no I in team. That's because there isn't. You need a team. You need a group of people that you're going to help and that people are going to help you and create an income and hopefully a legacy for your family or at least a way to make it through until things get better. So, Peter, I think probably we're almost out of time.
We are almost done. We have about 30 or 60 seconds left, so I'm going to take the rest. On Monday nights we do a radio show with Doris Wood and the MLMIA. So on Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, we do the radio show with Doris Wood, and just recently we decided that we wanted to talk about more of these conversations with lots of other people online as well. So we just came out with an MLM after-hours show. It's going to be 10 p.m. Eastern, the first Monday of every month, and this next one coming up is May 5th. So if you're listening to the recording, it might be over, but if you're listening in live or near live, you're going to be able to hear us on Monday, May 5th at 10 p.m., same place, same station on Building Fortunes Radio. So Chris Molinari, I'm going to say thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Hopefully the people enjoy the conversations that we have, and we are done with this radio show. Here we go. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye, Peter. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes segment with Peter Mingles. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for featured segments like
What's Cooking with Mario, The Bottom Line Team, and coming soon, The Dr. Bob and Hannah Show. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for.